When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that, excuse me, you need to stream the show. And, my goodness, it is a beautiful Sunday morning here in the great Pacific Northwest. I have to say that when I drove across I-90 this morning, I got to see Mount Rainier for the first time in quite a long time. Speaking of Mount Rainier, I don't know what that really has to do with him, except that he kind of sticks up like a
majestic
mountain over there. That would be Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill, is here. Good morning, Gary.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm fine.
And you didn't have to come in at the crack of dark 30 again, right?
No, so, not at all.
So you're good this morning. All right, except that you're frustrated about something, I can tell.
I don't hear me.
I don't hear you either, at least not in my headset. I mean, I hear you in the studio. But, somebody flipped a switch they shouldn't have flipped. And I wonder if we can hear Sandy, Animal World's co-producer and call screener. He is here today. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear Sandy.
Yay. I can't hear Gary either.
You can't hear Gary
either.
Well,
I hear him, but it sounds like he's way far away.
Oh, okay. So maybe you didn't come across on the radio. I mean, I can't tell if I'm just hearing him here in the studio.
No, because I can hear him, and I wouldn't be able to hear him.
My mic's dead.
Your mic's dead?
Yep, it is. So well, it's not 100% dead, Gary, because I can hear you a little bit, but there's definitely something wrong there.
You'd be able to hear this.
Well, yeah, because he's banging on his microphone. So if it was working, you would not be happy with him right now. And neither would we. I wonder, is there anything unplugged? That,
no, I don't.
And what's that little switcheroony there? Is that?
That's all.
Everything's cool,
all
huh?
For show.
Well, we have an extra microphone. Maybe you can swing that other one around. Would that work?
Probably.
All right. Well, let's. And while we're doing that, we're excited because we have two of our absolute favorite Animal World guests in the studio with us today. Adventure travelers extraordinaire, Helen and Bill Thayer are here. And I don't know, have you got Helen's microphone on yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so Helen can speak. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Sandy said when I did the promo for this week's show last week, I got done recording the promo, and Sandy said, "You didn't say that they're my favorite guests." So Sandy's happy because it's her favorite. Is it your favorite show of all the ones we do is Helen and Bill.
Martha knows that I'm really bad because she'll say something. It's part of my job. I'm on the Internet, so I'm looking things up so we can discuss things that a question comes up. But I never do that when you're here, Helen, because I don't want to miss a word you say.
Yeah, so she pays attention. She doesn't get distracted.
I pay 100% attention to what you're saying there.
All right. So, Gary, is that accurate? Is that working?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, that works.
Hey, how about
all
that?
Right. So I had a good idea.
That was a good idea.
Well,
and look, now I have a really clear shot at you.
There's no microphone in the way because it's coming from the other direction.
How about that?
That's an interesting way to put it. shot at her. Yeah.
Well, you never know what will come up. So.
Well, but see, technically we're both safe because we cannot reach each other. The table's that big. I can't kick him under the table. He can't kick me, and we can't slap each other. We'd have to throw spitwads or something.
You do have a couple projectiles there, however.
I was going to say, we could throw things.
Yeah.
But then we'd probably get in trouble. So.
Probably.
Because we aren't supposed to mess up the detail.
Ooh, the board is valuable.
All right, so today, what are we going to do today? Well, we're going to spend the majority of our time talking to Helen and Bill about, you know, it's been so long since you've been on the air, we just haven't been able to coordinate a date.
That's right.
And it's been so long that listeners are even starting to complain.
Oh.
I mean, I actually got calls or email or whatever. It's like, you know, isn't it about time that Helen and Bill are, it's like, yeah, it really is time, and we're working on it, believe it or not.
We're happy to be back, too.
Yeah, so we're going to spend the majority of our time talking to Helen and Bill about what they've been up to since they were last here and what they're planning for their big next adventure. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the three books that Helen has written and the treks that they've made. And we may have even time to open the phone lines and mm-hmm. have you call in and chat with us. But to start with, we'll do things as usual. I've got one happening today event that I'll tell you about shortly. And, oh, get this, you guys. I think we've been missing you so much that even the universe is excited that you're back. Because look at my stack of news. There's
there
like 2 minutes worth. You know what a pile I usually come in with news. I've got 1, 2, 3 little things and 1 good news. So we're like going to be over with good news in like about 2 minutes.
Is that for a lack of news or you didn't really go all out this week looking for news?
No, okay. It's been getting less. There have been less and less animal news every week for quite a while now. If you notice, there hasn't been as much as there used to be. And I'm not sure why that is. Unless there's just other stuff taken up.
That could be.
But... Oh,
I don't know. Maybe we should get on Twitter, Martha, and do Twittering about good news and just animals in the news.
I
bet you'd get more news than you knew what to do with that.
Well, I am resorting to the internet now to get some of the news stories, especially the good news stories. But I had another little gift from the universe last night. Fortunately, I had gotten that have to do stuff out of the way, but. Before I had a chance to go search for more news, something happened and my cable, my phone, and my internet went out. So it's kind of hard to search the internet when your cable's down.
I agree.
So I don't know what happened, but something happened. I don't know, maybe it was the Huskies winning that game, just kind of blew out the channels in Laurelhurst.
I knew that was going to come up.
Did you? The Huskies
that
won.
That was a very creative way, Gary, that she got that win in there.
Yeah, that was a unique way to fit it in.
Well.
Oh, yes, my cable's down. I don't know why. Oh, maybe it was because.
Well, it might have been. You know, it was such a comeback win and a last-minute deal. And the stadium got really excited. So maybe the stadium got so excited that they shook a cable loose.
I'm snorting. Gary's like, oh, I don't know, I didn't see it.
And since I didn't see it, it doesn't exist to me.
Now, see that I don't really understand. Helen, tell me if this makes sense to you. Now, Gary is a sports guy. That's mm-hmm. who
that's
he is
right.
and what he does.
Yes.
Okay, he calls the games. You know, for Seattle U, for the Storm, Seattle Storm. He does a radio show. A live radio show once a week from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, Monday evenings, about sports.
They didn't watch the game yesterday. But
that would be my point. Does it make sense that...
But there's so many more important sporting events that went on that I probably wouldn't even have time to fit it in tomorrow anyway, so...
Between 7 and 10:30 last night?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot
like
going
what?
On.
So I guess we could safely
rugby.
Say that you are certainly not an unbiased sports reporter.
I'm unbiased except when it comes to the Huskies. There may be a hint of bias. A hint.
Yeah, we actually went to the carpet on a show a few weeks ago.
Did you?
Wasn't it the opening game and the Huskies did something wonderful and upset? Who'd they upset? LSU or something?
They lost to LSU.
Oh, no. Yes. Okay, who
but
did they
didn't get blown out. That was the
No. Yeah, they did really well and anyway, they
didn't lose as badly as they've been losing.
Yeah, they did really good. Anyway, they've been playing really well. Whenever we talk about any of the other local teams, Gary's right on his little hot buttons over there playing their fight songs and all of that.
Oh, yes.
He would not play the University of... See, he doesn't even have it in the system.
I know.
And he would not look for it. He would not get it. You would think now it's been a few weeks, he would since he knew he doesn't have it in the system, he would now have it in the system.
It's like it's still not
to
there.
Accommodate the host of this show. But has he even... No. He's really a brat on this subject.
His mind is elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, see, and maybe I just have to call Eric or Benny or somebody and have them put the song into the system and then show Sandy how to get it. No, but she's a cougar, too. She probably wouldn't help.
I'll
have
Sandy's
to have them show me how to
work.
They would have to show me how to do it.
I'm pretty sure Sandy sides with me on this, so.
I don't know. Well, Sandy, I think, is a little more open-minded than you are. I think I'm more open.
More. You know, I don't
mean,
have
I'm
that
the first
vested.
To say the Cougars are my second favorite team in the Pac-10. And, you know, as long as they aren't playing the Huskies, I root for the Cougars. He doesn't even root for the Huskies no matter what. He won't even watch the game.
Oh.
Well.
And he's a sports reporter. All right.
I like that. Well.
Yeah. I mean, I want you to think about that, Gary. You're young. You have a lot of life left.
Uh-huh.
And to be this stubborn and this bullheaded on a subject like this.
I think everyone should have at least one subject they're stubborn on.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's healthy.
Well, you have to. You're just justifying.
Exactly. Huh. I'm doing a very good job of justification.
No, I haven't heard anything that justifies your attitude here.
I could play more fight songs.
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay.
We are going to say, though, let's see, we will do fall-winter tip at 10 o'clock, 10:50 as usual, current events, and then our new pet of the week. And the rest of the show is going to be devoted to Helen and Bill. We are going to do a little bit of news, and then we're just going to get right into chatting. Let's see. Happening today, in case you are looking to find a dog friend, there is the Barktoberfest dog adoption event today. It is Sunday, October 11th. Correct? It is.
Yeah.
Noon to 3 p.m. today at the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. Very easy to get to. It's right off of 405, just north of the 522 interchange. The Academy of Canine Behavior from noon to 3. 9 shelters and rescues from around the state will be there with adoptable dogs. And they will have trainers. Staff and volunteers will be on hand to answer your questions and to help you find the right match for you or your family. And it's really a wonderful event. And Sandy, you know, they've got a great facility out there.
Oh, they've got a wonderful facility.
So if you're looking for something to do today, get out. And especially if you're looking for a dog friend or know somebody that's looking for a dog friend, get out to the Academy of Canine Behavior from noon to 3 today for Barktoberfest. Woohoo! All right, so that covers events today. Why don't we take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we will do the huge pile of news, which will take a couple minutes, and then what we're all waiting for, we're going to find out what Helen and Bill have been up to. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. And I found out this week that it's, definitely worth a trip to Jones & Company Pets up in Marysville. They are continuing all the sale stuff from their annual blowout sale that happened last weekend? The weekend before, yeah. At any rate, they have got all the sales going on, so you want to get up there, get your preferred customer card, get your discounts, get your free food, and you will find them on State Street in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Call Karma Specialist and Metaphysical Mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings at her new time on Wednesdays at noon. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays at noon for your free on-air readings. Hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio on Thursdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. And check Robin's new Reiki Healing Energy Portal at robinalexis.com.
Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest quality, all-natural, human-grade holistic products using the finest natural ingredients available, including vitamins and chelated minerals. Canada products are made the Canada way with superior quality in every bag and can. 100% satisfaction guaranteed and 100% nutritionally guaranteed. Check out the new All Life Stages grain-free formula, 80% meat protein, 20% vegetables and fruit, and zero grains. Discover why dogs love Canada. Go to Canada.com for more information.
Made fresh each day for you. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling on this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're excited because Helen and Bill Thayer are in the house. We're going to spend most of the show just chatting with them today, and we'll even probably have time to open the phone line, so you can call in and be a part of the conversation. In the meantime, we're trying to figure out why Gary's microphone is dead, and then we just found out that Helen couldn't hear anything in the last segment, but now she's found her volume switch, so we're in good shape.
And we're a mess here.
We are. She didn't hear. Now, can you hear Sandy now, Helen?
Yes, I can hear
okay,
her now.
Okay, so she couldn't hear you at all, Sandy.
Oh, okay.
So she was sitting there faking it. And I thought, and then I looked at her, she had a kind of a deer in the headlight look. And I thought, well, that's strange. No, so she fessed up during the break. I can't hear anything. And Gary said, I didn't have a clue. Well, Helen, you found out that Gary doesn't have a clue on a lot of things lately. Certainly doesn't have a clue on how to be an unbiased sports reporter. And see, he lives in the state of Washington. Gary, the Huskies should be your second favorite team in the Pac-10. See, it's only a rivalry when we play each other.
I don't think
other.
You're getting anywhere.
I know, can't you see? But that's part of the new global thinking. See, it's only a rivalry when you're playing each other, you know, and it's for fun. But the rest of the time, we support each other.
I don't feel like I get supported. Living in enemy territory here.
Well, if you changed your attitude, it would be a lot more friendly.
I don't know. I don't know if I buy that.
I think he has his armor up. He's not going to change.
That doesn't sound like it, does it?
No.
So now we know.
I'm very stubborn on the
Who's
subject.
Who's flexible in this studio and who isn't? Well, I'm not too proud to say it. The Cougars are my second favorite team, and I have no problem rooting for the Cougars.
Thank you.
As long as they're not playing the Huskies. And, goes to say again, how do you keep cougars out of your yard? Put up goalposts. There we go. At least the Huskies are winning some games. Okay. That's Sandy snorting in the background.
Yes, it is.
Okay, shall we see what animals in the news? Oh, speaking of battles... They got one follow-up item in the news today. It's out of Thursday's Seattle Times. Boy, the press releases have been flying. There is a battle brewing over King County Animal Care and Control and what's going to happen. I don't know, Sandy, if you've been getting all the press releases.
Yep.
And I'm quite amazed about what's going on here because, you know, the recommendations have been made by the King County executive triplet. He wants to get out of the animal control business. A few months ago, the Humane Society was saying, we're not interested, we can't do it, it costs too much, all of that. Then triplet said, we'll give somebody $2 million, a one-time fee, to start doing this. All of a sudden, the Humane Society's on board. And now they're actually lobbying. The emails are now coming out from the Humane Society, which, and this is not necessarily a good or a bad thing. Folks, you're all going to have to make up your own mind on this, but I'm looking at this and saying, what's wrong with this picture? Because now the Humane Society is lobbying for the county to do nothing else other than letting them take over all the housing and adopting of all the King County animals, beginning as soon as November 1st. And the latest release from the Humane Society said something to the effect of, well, we don't want money to be an issue in the animals' care in King County, so we'll step up and take care of the animals starting November 1st, even though that $2 million won't be available until after everything happens in June. But as long as you agree to give it to us and all your buildings down there and all this stuff, then we'll step up and do this. So I don't know. I'm just getting that twinge in my gut that this is a money thing.
Well, definitely it's a money
thing. Well, I know, but see, it's like Gary not being open to supporting the Huskies when they're not playing the Cougars. We have to get out of this money thing. The greed and all. I just... Anyway, so I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what shakes out here. But I'm still of the mind that the county, that KCACC has just about got everything covered. And, of course, with the potential flooding and the having to move and they don't know where they're going, maybe this is just going to make things work better for the county and the animals will be better taken care of. And I hope that's the case. Mm-hmm. Unlike some others, even though if something is done here that wasn't what I wanted to have done, I will do everything I can do to support that.
Oh.
Look at that smug look on his face over there. Don't you just want to slap him? Jeez.
Too far away.
He's safe.
You know what he's doing, folks? He's sitting, he's backed away from the microphone. He's got his feet up. He's eating yogurt. With a smug smile on his face.
I'm relaxing. I'm enjoying the show. I'm enjoying news.
Yeah, okay. Well, so anyway, if you want to see, the article in the paper didn't cover near all the bases and certainly doesn't cover the press releases that came out, but it's there. We'll keep you posted on what's going on. I can't imagine being in Nancy McKinney's place now and being the temporary, the interim manager of KCACC with all this battle going on around her. I mean, the woman must be a saint. Anyway, well, I believe she is. Okay, on with animals in the news. Let's see. How about this, you guys? A woman was killed by a captive 350-pound black bear when she cleaned its cage Sunday night. Officials said Monday as they revealed that her husband, an exotic pet dealer, was operating with an expired license in the Pocono Mountains, about 20 miles north of Allentown, Pennsylvania. Kellyanne Waltz's husband, Michael Waltz, reported to authorities in 2007 that he kept a lion, cougar, jaguar, tiger, black bear, leopard, and two servals. So I guess the lesson here is, shouldn't be keeping these exotic pets around, and they're wild animals.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
And they can kill
wild
people.
Animals.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a shame, but boy, the lessons. Oh, and here's another one. Gary, I don't want, because you're going fishing, you better pay attention here. It's out of Lincoln City, Oregon. An Oregon man has been cited for unlawful possession of a great white shark. The Fish and Wildlife Division of Oregon State Police seized the 12-foot shark on August 8th in Depot Bay and gave it to the Hatfield Marine Science Center in Newport. The Register Guard newspapers report 32-year-old Jason W. Robinson of Warren faces a $299 fine for violating sport fishing regulations. He was appearing in court this week. Under the state's fishing regulations, it is unlawful to possess either great white or basking sharks. I didn't know that, but I guess that must have to do with shark fin soup and all of that, that you're not supposed to mess with sharks, which is a good thing.
Well, how is he keeping it? What was he keeping it in?
Well, I don't know. You wonder, where do they seize the 12-foot shark? I have to assume that he probably wasn't fishing for a shark, but maybe he was.
Better off in the ocean than in some tank.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and it says seize the 12-foot shark. I assumed that the shark was dead. Maybe it wasn't. Ooh, can you imagine? Oh, I don't know. Oh, these little snippets. All right, would you believe that covers the bases on the basic animals in the news? So what does that leave time for? Or bring us time. Bring us to the time for... Gary's ready. The best good news about animals. And we are walking on sunshine today, albeit it's a little chilly. Whew. Does feel good, except it's pretty nippy. I broke out my darn down parka this morning. I got and met Helen and Bill in the parking lot, and they get out, and you have this little fleece sweater on, but not a big deal. No coat for you. It was probably like summertime to you that spend time in the North and South Pole.
That's quite... I like the fresh, crisp mornings.
Yeah?
I like that.
Well...
Yeah, this is my favorite time of the year. I love this. This is yummy.
Yeah, it is a nice time of year.
Yes, we like it a lot. The colors are out, and it's crisp in the mornings, and cooler in the mountains when we hike, so...
All right.
We like it.
All right. Our good news story. We have one. Humpback whale status making splash. This is out of Honolulu. The federal government is considering taking the humpback whale off the endangered species list based on data showing the population has been steadily growing. Known for their aerobatic leaps from the sea and complex singing patterns, humpback whales were nearly hunted to extinction, but the species has bounced back under a 1966 ban on whaling. Quote, humpbacks by and large are an example of a species that in most places seems to be doing very well, despite our efforts to exterminate them. And that is from Philip Clapman of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. The government is required to review endangered status if it receives, quote, significant new information, unquote. Study results last year show the North Pacific population has grown 4 to 7% a year to an estimated 18,000 to 20,000 whales from 1,400 in the mid-1960s. So that is a huge leap. A pending study of the North Atlantic population, estimated at 10,600 in the early 1990s, is expected to show it has grown too. Some environmental groups are already opposing a possible delisting. But at this point, we'll take this as good news that the numbers have increased so much. I also tend to side with those environmental groups wondering if removing them from the endangered species list is really a wise idea. But nonetheless, the fact that there are so many of them when there was only 1,400 left in the North Pacific in the 1960s and there's now 18,000 to 20,000, that is good news. So that's where we're going to end the news. All right. Well, we can either beat up Gary again or we can take care of our advertisers and sponsors so we can get on with Helen and Bill and what you guys been up to. And I vote for let's get on with Helen and Bill and all of that good stuff. And Gary can just feel guilty about being so uncompromisingly stubborn over there.
He doesn't really look too destroyed.
Oh, I know. He still has that smug little... Doesn't he look like a smug little kid? He does.
He looks happy.
Yeah, he's pleased with himself. All right, we'll take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we'll come back and begin our discussion with our most favorite adventure travelers, Helen and Bill Thayer. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Darla Ruers wanted to be a veterinarian since the age of 5. Always an empath, natural healer, and visionary artist, Darla wanted to give a voice to the animals and be their advocate on the most gentle, heart-centered, true-feeling way. Her interest in shamanism, plant medicines, and diverse healing forms led her to open the Ancient Arts Healing Arts Center for Pets and People located in Fremont. There is a very tangible link between the symptoms we see in animals and the people they live with, and Dr. Ruers treats the animals, helping their caretakers bring awareness to their part in the wellness. Darla teaches Qigong and art meditation to the humans to help them help their pets. A licensed veterinarian in Washington, Dr. Ruers has been certified in veterinary acupuncture and has practiced alternative therapies on domestic and exotic species since 2002. She has been doing house calls and office visits in the greater Puget Sound area since 2005. For more information, go to ancientartsvet.com or call 206-547-1025. That's 206-547-1025.
Join Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 AM. Brian Abker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit sportstangle.com for more information. That's Sports Tangle, every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Robin Alexis has channeled a new energy portal called the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. You can check out the information about this new energy portal on her website, robinalexis.com. Click on the large button on the right side of the website that says, "Are you guided by your higher self?" Click here to visit this sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Your experience here will mend your soul's heart and recalibrate your senses to the divine. In addition to receiving access to the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal, your subscription will include a copy of the ebook, Robin Song. Access to the special priority forum for subscribers only, to read and to post into, and access to the special calendar for subscribers only to learn about special meditation events that will only be for those who have subscribed. For more in-depth information, check out the Mary Magdalene Reiki Energy Portal on Robin's website, robinalexis.com. It's Robin's hope that future generations will continue to bathe in the light of this sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon. We're just getting rolling on the important part of this week's show, and that, of course, would be Helen and Bill Theris here, and are here. And Helen, you and I were just chatting over the break because you were looking at current events and asking about Dr. Mike Salusky, and who, by the way, folks, will be in the studio with us next week. He'll be here for Animal World. And so we're doing an extra Vet Sunday this week with a twist. And the twist is that Dr. Mike is not coming in as Vet Sunday necessarily. He's coming in as a murder mystery writer, Philip Marshall, because he has written a book called Barn Politics. And that's what we'll be talking about. We'll be giving away copies of his book every hour in next week's show. Find out how he's gone from vet to mystery writer. And at any rate, I'm mentioning it. And he has a book signing next Saturday. So that I will give you the details on that in current events. At the end of the next hour. That's what Helen had seen on the current events calendar, and so that's what you're asking about. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you, I was telling Sandy before we started the show, because I finished Barn Politics last night. I've been reading the book, and I wanted to get it read in time so that Sandy could read it before next Sunday when Mike's in the studio. And so, of course, with everything that's been going on in my life, I've been really busy, and I just hadn't had time to do it, so I stayed up last night to finish it, and I was... If I don't sound right with it today, I'm a little tired because I was up till almost 2 o'clock finishing the book, and I have to tell you, I'm a bit disturbed because I don't read murder mysteries. I mean, most of what I'm reading are animal books, you know, for the radio show and all that kind of stuff, and I don't often read a murder mystery. And this is kind of, you know, edge of your seat sort of book by the time you get towards the end. And that was last night before I was going to bed. And I'll tell you, I can't wait to get Mike in here next week to find out where the heck this came from. You know? I mean, because I have this perception of Mike Saluska, and then he wrote this, and it's like, whoa, where did this come from? Anyway, it's the energy. And now I know, Sandy, you have the book now, and there's a kind of a dark energy to the book. The way it's a kind of a dark forest green color, the cover itself, and I don't. I mean, do you feel kind of a dark energy, Sandy, when you look?
To tell you the truth, when you handed me the book, it actually looks like a Halloween story.
Uh-huh.
Because it's dark, and the picture is really kind of. I mean, it's a very. I like the cover of the book, but you're right. It's a really dark, kind of creepy.
Creepy, yeah, a creepy Halloween-y type
energy.
And I'm
sure that's exactly what he was looking
for. Oh, exactly. Yeah. That's, you know, I'm here. It's a murder mystery. That's exactly the way you'd want it to look. And I have to say, it's one of, you know, I have certainly seen many other murder mystery books and so forth. This one has the energy in the book itself and on the cover and all of that. So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm just wondering where the heck this came from. So we'll try to find out next week. So I hope you'll be here for that. And of course, Helen was asking about it because, you know, Dr. Mike has, you know, you've had a relationship here with Animal World for over the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And you know him from that association because he's been an Animal World vet here for a long time. So anyway, Dr. Mike will be in the studio next week as Philip Marshall, his pseudonym for writing. So that'll be exciting. So anyway, all right, we have got Helen and Bill Thayer. Of course, you haven't heard much from Bill because Bill doesn't talk a lot. Bill is just here.
He's the strong, silent partner.
He is the strong, silent type. So Bill is in the background. Hi, Bill. Thanks for being here.
Helen just made a speech. He said, thank you.
Yeah. And we have tried, folks, over the years to get Bill. I think we've got him up into a chair and a microphone a few times, but I don't know that we got any words out of him.
But it's not good to have two talkers in one family. One is enough. We need Bill to sort of steady me down and tell me when to be quiet.
Oh, all right. So it works well that way.
Oh,
then,
it's
huh?
extremely good. It's very good for me, yes.
And you work well as a team
on
your trucks.
Yes, we're
although
excellent
all
team.
Of your trucks have not been a team, because I met you, or Sandy and I, we first met you when your first book came out.
That's right, with Charlie.
Charlie, Polar Dream.
That's right.
And it is...
Charlie was in the studio.
Yeah, yeah. So we were back in Como days.
That's right.
And the book Polar Dream came out by Helen Thayer. Let's see, so it was, that's...
That was way in 1993.
93, is that when it came
now
out?
Now the book's on its second edition.
Yeah, because it's two, here, okay, originally published in 93.
That's right, yes.
So what, that's 93, 2003, yeah, I was up late last night, and so that's 16 years.
That's right, yes. It's some sort of they tell me it's some sort of a record for a expedition book to go into a second edition, and especially a woman, so we seem to be breaking records with it.
Wow. Now, if you haven't, folks, if you haven't read any of Helen's books, you really need to do them. They remain, because this is the first of three so far, they remain on my absolute all-time favorite book list. There are three books here I'm really considering in my move coming up that I'm going to get rid of a lot of my books. I would never get rid of your books. And in fact, I think I've read all of them. Oh, I don't. Walking the Gobi, I haven't read that one more than once, but I've read Three Among the Wolves and Polar Dream. I've read them at least twice, and I would read these over and over again. They're so good. But the first book, Polar Dream, is the story of Helen, at age 50, you became the first woman to walk solo to the North Pole.
Magnetic North Pole, yes.
Mm-hmm. At 50?
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't you spend your 65th birthday with a frozen cupcake and a candle by yourself at the South Pole?
The 60th, yes.
Mm-hmm. 60th birthday.
Yes, that's right.
Unbelievable.
Then my 70th was kayaking the Amazon.
Your 70th, you were kayaking the Amazon. Holy mackerel. If folks, if for some reason maybe you are just, you're new to Animal World or you've not been here, you don't know about Helen and Bill's tracks and their work, get on their website here and be checking it out while you're listening. And that would be www.helenthayer.com,
right?
That's right. And Helen, H-E-L-E-N, Thayer, T-H-A-Y-E-R, helenthayer.com. And you can get a lot of background, read her bio. If I were to read you the bio and all the things they've done, I did that once on the air and it took up a whole segment of the show. Unbelievable. And this Polar Dream, I saw it. I try to read so many books for Animal World, and in the vast majority of them, I just can't read. But this one grabs you on the first page, and you're there for the rest of the trek, and it's unbelievable. I mean, what you, at the last minute, you decided to purchase Charlie, who is the Eskimo wolf dog.
That's right. Yes, we met 3 days before my journey began, and he was very important to me because he was my first line of defense against polar bears.
Right, and he saved your life.
He actually saved my life, and then, of course, I brought him home, and he lived to be 23 years old, a 100-pound dog. Living to that age is somewhat of a record, and he was never sick. He just eventually went to sleep.
And we think that was the strong genetics of that Inuit breeding,
yes.
and 'cause the dogs of his genre, so to speak, I mean, live tethered on the ice.
That's
you
right.
know, get a frozen seal part here or there.
That's right. And they don't live to be very long. They don't live very long, but
up in that environment.
That's right.
But get them in an environment with good diet and care.
Yeah, that's right. He had monthly acupuncture, chiropractic, and I learned animal massage for him. And we cooked all of his food, and so anything that Charlie wanted, Charlie got.
Right, and that's what, the first time you did the Animal World show, you brought Charlie into
the
studio.
Mm-hmm.
We actually all got to meet Charlie, and he became a member of the Animal World family for many years.
That's right.
And it was actually on Animal World that you learned about chiropractic and acupuncture.
That's right, that's where I first learned about it.
And Dr. Richard Panzer, who was an Animal World vet at the time, and I think you saw Mike Salusky.
Yes, and also... Yes,
yep.
We saw both of them, and
they both treated
Charlie, and that was that treatment was a great deal, had a lot of effect on Charlie's health, his good health, and his longevity, and now I'm writing Charlie's biography.
Oh, you are. Is that going to be the next book? Then?
Yes, I just have to stay home long enough to get it finished. But I have a lot of people urging me to get that book finished. People are more interested in Charlie, really, than Helen. Charlie is the important part.
Well, Charlie was an incredible,
Oh, absolutely, and amazing. It was a tremendous privilege to be able to live in Charlie's house.
Yeah, great, great dog, and he's very much a part of these stories. And like we said, Helen... got Charlie just before she left on this trek to the magnetic North Pole by herself. If you had not had Charlie, you very likely may not have returned from that trip.
The one bear probably would have got me. But having Charlie there, he did his job very nicely because his job had, before I bought Charlie from the Inuit people, his job had been to keep the polar bears out of the village and keep the people safe.
Uh-huh.
So he was perfect for me to take with me. And of course, we bonded immediately because when I bought him, he had no name. He'd lived out on the ice, tethered just by a chain to the ice when he wasn't working, and didn't know human kindness at all. And so we bonded immediately, especially when I produced that human food, which he'd never seen before. I had to put more food on my sled because I was pulling a 160-pound sled. But I had to put more food on board because I knew that we were going to be in great competition on this journey for food. So Charlie loved that the rice and the granola, and he loved the peanut butter cups.
I was going to say the peanut butter cups. That's what I remember him and you sharing that.
Because when I returned home, I was told don't feed him any more of that because of the chocolate. So I don't advise anybody, don't feed your dog a peanut butter cups.
Well, it reminds me of a story of me when my first house rabbit, Algernon, who was loose in the house, but I had a cage in my bedroom, but he used to sleep with me at night in the bed. And that's when I would sneak, my favorite candy at the time were Reese's peanut butter cups. And I would sneak the peanut butter cups up to my bedroom, and then Algernon would get under the covers with me, and we'd eat Reese's peanut butter cups. before we went to bed at night. You know, and, you know, same thing. Shouldn't have been feeding to the rabbit either, but we all survived and everything was great. But Reese's peanut butter cups are pretty popular.
They're very popular.
Fortunately, it's milk chocolate, and, of course, it's the dark chocolate that's so incredibly toxic.
A very thin layer around the peanut.
Yeah, and so the milk chocolate isn't nearly as toxic as the dark baker's chocolate.
No, but
it doesn't
still
have
better
as much
off
theobromine.
Without it.
You're still better off without it, but... Charlie
did enjoy them on the journey, that was for sure.
But if you can imagine them starting off, now this is Helen by herself with Charlie, and you're dragging a 160-pound sled?
That's right, yes, with all my gear and food on board.
And wasn't Charlie was dragging a sled, too?
Well, he had a tiny little Charles blue plastic sled with a few pounds of his food on board, but I had the rest of his food and his gear on my sled because all I wanted Charlie to do was watch for those polar bears, and because they were my greatest challenge. It was the storms and the broken ice, and
well, yeah, you almost fell in the drink.
Yes, it was many, many dangers along the way. Even one night my stove even blew up, and I had a tent fire to deal with, and I had 9 frostbitten fingers. And
well, that's what I was thinking. Now, how many miles was the trek?
364.
And how many days did it take you to do that?
Just almost a month.
Almost a month, and you're by yourself out there in the middle of nowhere Charlie. And get this, folks, it was in like the first 24 hours that you trashed your fingers and got them all frostbite, right?
That's right.
Was it like in the first day or
so? It was the evening of the first day.
Yeah, that your hands froze, and so you had and the skin was peeling off your hands and all. That was the first, I remember now, when you came into Animal World that first time.
Yeah.
Back in 90, you walked in, the first thing I wanted to see was your hands.
That's right.
I couldn't believe you still had hands attached.
If people often ask to see my hands because of the problems. But my fingers survived. They were tremendously painful, which, of course, was good because it showed that they were still alive. Because at the beginning, I didn't know if my fingers were dead. I might be losing them. But when the blisters rose and the big, huge blood blisters and the pain of returning circulation, I realized my fingers are alive. So then I put on a pair of liner gloves and just did my best to ignore them because there's nothing I could do about them then. I just had to deal with it.
I mean, can you imagine that you're starting out on a 300-plus mile trek at the North Pole? And, I mean, there's nothing but snow and ice, and what's the temp? Is it below zero all the time?
Most of the time, it can get, once we did experience, when Bill and I went 4 years later, we experienced temperatures of minus 75.
Minus 75. So you're in the worst conditions on Earth, and in the first 24 hours, you fry your hands, so you're all frostbit. I can't imagine the pain, but you decided to continue.
Oh, yes, because there was nothing I could do about it, and...
you could have bailed out. You could have not gone.
No, that really didn't occur.
That was not an option.
No, it's not an option.
Speaking of not an option, we have to stay with the clock. So we will take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. We'll come back and cover, you know, briefly the rest of the books and the trek that they've been on for this lifetime, and then we'll get into what we don't know about and what's going to be, all the good stuff. So stay with us. We're going to have a delightful time today with Helen and Bill Thayer in the background. He's the strength behind the team.
Right.
All right. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store-within-a-store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, it's always worth a trip to Jones & Company up in Marysville, but especially now they're continuing all the sales from their annual blowout sale, which is really phenomenal. I was up there on Saturday during that weekend, and unbelievable savings. And, you know, buy a bag of food, get the second one half off, and they're continuing all that stuff. So get on up to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817. Be sure to join the preferred customer. customer club when you do, because you'll get discounts and free stuff. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Desilly is blowing the doors on traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Alternative Talk 1150 is now being broadcast in digital quality on FM 98.9 HD3. So rejoice, you early adopters of technology.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk. Thanks for listening to Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Delighted to say that Helen and Bill Thayer are in the studio today, and we're going to spend the rest of the show with them. And I have to say, Helen's got three books out so far. We were just talking about Polar Dream and her trek to the magnetic North Pole at age 50. Do you remain the only woman ever to do that, or is...
Yes, so far. Some have attempted it, but have had to turn back.
The only woman
to do it solo. Make a solo journey to the magnetic North Pole, yeah.
You did that at 50. Unbelievable. It still blows me away. And wait till you read the book. So if you haven't read the book, folks, whew. Now, all three of your books are still available, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And can your books be gotten through your website?
Yes.
Okay. So www.helenthayer.com. And trust me, if you have not read Helen's books, they are phenomenal. And you really need to. I mean, the Polar Dream, like I said, these will always remain in my library, and I would read them over and over and over again. They are absolutely phenomenal. And you get wrapped up the same the second time as the first time when you read these books. It's really amazing. And now your second book... It's called Three Among the Wolves, a couple and their dog live a year with wolves in the wild. Now, this was the story, you and Bill and Charlie.
That's right, yes. Charlie was the reason we were able to make this study of wild wolves. His grandfather was an Arctic wolf,
mm-hmm.
And so this was an experiment. We didn't really know if it would work, but because there's no way that two humans can turn up at a wolf den and say, hi, we're here for a year, the wolves will immediately leave.
Yeah.
And they're smart.
Uh-huh.
But with Charlie, we hoped that his wolf heritage would stand us in good stead and that he could possibly communicate with wolves.
Like an ambassador between
that's right.
you and them. Huh?
We wanted him to become our alpha male. We would be his pack. And if this could be demonstrated to the wolf family that we were studying, then we hoped that he would be accepted, therefore we would be accepted as his pack. And it worked out that way. It was a rather slow process, but it worked very well. Charlie was accepted fairly fast. But his two human companions, it took quite a while for the wolves to accept us. But once accepted, it worked out very well. We were able to live 100 feet from the den and really interact with these wolves, watch them hunt and watch them just in their daily lives. And
yeah, I'll never forget the first time I read this book. I mean, it was very special knowing the two of you and knowing Charlie and, mm-hmm. and all of that, because this year that you lived with the wolves and studied them with Charlie happened after, you know, your first Polar Dream and your first book and
That's
us
right.
getting together. So we already had a relationship. But reading this book, I remember... I'll never forget when the evening I finished the book, because when I finished the book, I cried and I cried and I cried, and I cried because of the ending of the book,
mm-hmm.
because of and that was involving your separation from the wolves.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes, it was very.
But I realized that I was also crying simply because I was finished with the book. I loved the story and reading it so much, I wanted it to continue.
It was very hard for us to leave the wolves because they had become part of us, and we learned to respect them to such a high degree. And we learned a lot about them, but also a lot about ourselves. We learned a lot about the failings of the human race, because in observing the wolves, we realized if we could be more like them, if we could live a life more like the wolf family,
Gary,
we'd be so much better off than just the way we are. Mm-hmm. The human race, we do have our failings. And it was so obvious to us. And it was so hard to leave, but we had to leave. You know, if we could have figured out a way to stay there the rest of our lives, we would have. But mm-hmm. we couldn't, so.
Yeah.
But we have been back several times to check. And we don't go close because we don't want them to be too
acclimated to humans.
So we observe from afar just to check. And that wolf den is still being used. The family's changed over the years, but it's still there.
So they survived even with the aerial gunning and hunting.
Yes.
And it was amazing because there's stories in the book about how the wolves deal with the plains mm-hmm. and the aerial hunting mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
Yes, we saw that part of wolf life right from the ground and right with them. We experienced their panic, their terror, their fleeing from these plains. We saw that ourselves up close, right on the ground with them, and so we know the emotions that go on. And it's a terrible thing. The plane will come over and just shoot wolves from the air. It's a terribly cruel thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they call it, in some circles, they call it sport, and there's no sport about
mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, but what a book. Amazing. If you haven't read it, folks, you'll love it. Love it, love it, love it. Now, the third book is Walking the Gobi.
That's right. That was a 1,600-mile journey, a walking
trek across the desert of hope and despair. That would be the Gobi Desert.
The Gobi Desert, yes, yes.
And it's 1,600 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is
again, the Three Among the Wolves. It was you and Bill and
that's
Charlie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, this Walking the Gobi, now I'm trying to remember, this I think came out in 2008. Didn't it? Yeah, the first edition was in 2007.
Mm-hmm,
and you made this trek?
2001.
2001 is when you did this.
Yes.
Okay. So, and that was you and Bill.
That's right.
No Charlie on this one.
Oh, no, Charlie, it'd be very,
not
very
in the
bad
desert.
To take
not
him
a desert,
the desert
dog, no. But you were not animal-less. You had the camels.
We had two camels. We walked all the way leading two camels.
I want to say Ben and Jerry, but...
Tom and Jerry. And they became our family.
Yeah, so it's wonderful. All of Helen's books and stories all involve animals.
That's right.
And living with animals and learning about animals, and you study about the animals that are native in the areas where you are. So
that's right.
A lot of animal education.
Yes,
but
yes,
so I learned a lot about camels with your experience with these two guys.
Yes, camels are generally thought to be cantankerous, bad-tempered, and generally nasty creatures, but they're not. Now, when we walked 4,000 miles across the Sahara Desert, we also took two camels, walked all the way leading two camels. We call them George and Henry.
George and Henry,
and,
all right.
But they are treated differently by their owners in that part of the world. But the camels in the Gobi in Mongolia are treated in a much kinder fashion. And so they were easier to get along with from the beginning. Even in the Sahara, George and Henry became our pets and our family, but not as quickly as did Tom and Jerry in the Gobi.
All right. And of course, in all of these books, there's life and death situations. and it's kind of amazing how Helen and Bill managed to survive these treks and not get either fall in the ocean or get eaten by polar bears or shot by natives or... Oh, eaten by piranhas, attacked by killer bees, because they've been in all of these situations. What was that? What you were on the what river, was it the Amazon, that you had the killer bees are coming, the swarms coming down the river, and it's well, do we jump in the water and deal with piranhas, or do we stay in the boat and deal with the bees? They jumped in.
Yes, that's all we could do.
But they're still here, and they've got all their fingers and toes and all that sort of
stuff. It was a tributary of the Amazon River.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting situation.
Now, that's not in a book.
No, that's...
That must be you shared that story on the air with us here.
I'm writing Charlie's biography right now, and then my next book will be the Amazon. I have to get to that.
Okay, so I just must know those... Don't we know those stories, Gary, simply because of you relating them here on the air?
And I have a second Amazon journey that...